For January the 3rd, 2014, we talk about the games we played over break. We ask you how you did on your 2013 gaming resolutions, and we encourage you to stick around after the credits for a little talk about Dishonored. Welcome to the 45th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Hey, fellas. I know that we did a bunch of talking about this off the air, but on the air, let me say, welcome back. I hope you had a great great Christmas time. Any good stories you want to share? I got a comfy robe. It is dark blue and very thick.
Nice.
Yeah, in order
How thick?
It's thirsty. It is a very thirsty fabric.
Wait, what?
No, it's a thick dark blue robe to make up for the fact that I cannot control the heat of my apartment.
So relevant to the podcast. Yeah. I got a new mic stand.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sorry. No, not to put you on blast. Sorry. Okay.
Everybody put me on blast lately. Shit.
No, but it is set up to my exact proportions. I'm sitting very comfortably now and hopefully sounding clear. So,
yeah, no.
Yay.
You sound
great. Is it thirsty too?
It is a thirsty mic stand.
It's very thirsty, which I don't really understand. It's a Chia Pet microphone stand.
Yeah. You have to shave it every time you record.
No, actually, if you let it grow out, it's a natural pop filter.
Oh. It's like acoustic baffling.
You joke, but you know that's going to be a thing at some point.
Well, yeah, like in order to make anything a chia pet, you just have to take that weird butter and put the seeds on it, and then boom, you got chia.
David, you could be a chia pet.
Except you just have to hope that no hippies eat the seeds.
Yeah,
because it's one of the ancient Mayan super greens.
Wait, chia pet is quinoa?
No, it's quinoa is a different thing, but you've never been to a place that was catered mostly by Whole Foods and seen somebody put chia seeds on a salad?
No, sounds amazing.
Wait, let's track that. Let's track that conversation for a second. All you have to do to make anything a chia pet is put that weird butter on it. David, you too could be a chia pet. It's the ancient Mayan superfood, but you have to watch out for hippies.
Thank you.
That's about right.
And we will provide a nice chart on the Facebook.
Happy 2014.
Happy 20 forward. We did it.
Yeah, that's about the tempo you're going to get here. So
yeah.
Keep up. Chop, chop.
Awesome. So what we're looking at here today, we've got a little bit of news that we're going to be talking about. I don't know about you guys. I've been playing a whole lot of one game, disappointing everybody.
I've been playing a whole lot of one disappointing game.
Oh, so. Cool. I think I might know what that is, actually.
Yeah.
And then we have some questions about did you live up to your gaming commitments from 2013? So why don't we go ahead and get started? It is time for the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. Does anybody want to volunteer to go first? Because I have two tiny ones that are kind of related, but kind of not.
I've got a quick one about just a little new game coming out here.
Hit it.
So it's kind of a one-off. But it's called, rather on the nose, but Sphere Chess.
Okay. Oh,
and
yeah.
It is. I put a link in the robot, but it is chess on a sphere. And it's a standard board just wrapped around on itself so that all the pieces are kind of up at the poles. And you can move for pieces that can move as far as you want. There's no edge. So if you had a clear path, you could theoretically just keep on circling your bishop around and around and around ad nauseum. Which
so
kind of opens up
when you're losing.
So you can stall.
You just start doing that.
This one move is going to take about 5 years. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, but you could have rook g8 to rook g8 to rook g8 to rook g8.
And that's the risk they take. They didn't stop to ask if they should.
Yeah, you are required.
To win is not to play.
Yeah, you are required to go wee. As you're sliding around.
Wait, so the entire board wraps around, right?
The entire board wraps around. with like I said, the starting position of the pieces at the poles. So the squares, you kind of have to see the picture, but the squares kind of bow out and come together to a point. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how it works for going around the edges, but you know, it basically connects every side of the board into one fluid sphere.
Yeah, because sphere projection is a thing. Oh, okay. They just literally show you a sphere.
Yeah, like literally. Which, I mean, you know, I guess unless you wanted to do something with magnets, this isn't really possible as a physical game. And it makes for, I imagine, I haven't played it yet because it's only in beta on Windows PC. But, you know, you could, you know, have all sorts of different strategic options. And, you know, have to watch your back and your front and your left and your right and your up and your down, as well as just forward. So,
yeah.
I mean, chess is what, an 800-year-old game, and it doesn't really need an update, but this is kind of a cool wrinkle.
So for the purposes of making a joke, I'm gonna dive behind the scenes here. I was trying really hard to remember who Bobby Fischer was in order to make a joke, like, you know, this would drive him even further crazy and, you know, just squeeze some more controversial opinions out of him about conspiracies and whatnot. However, all I could think of, I couldn't think of Bobby Fischer. All I could think of was Billy Mays, who, as we all know, is dead as fuck. So Billy Mays, you're going to love this Tetrasphere. Oh, wait, it's Chessphere. Give me more Coke. Yeah. Do you guys remember Tetrasphere?
Uh-uh.
No.
N64 game, except it was Tetris played on a rotating sphere. That was around the time of a bunch of other Tetris variants, such as Weltris and Wetris.
What?
It's a very thirsty game of Tetris.
Very thirsty. Oh man. I saw this and just I have a hard enough time wrapping my head around chess anyway. Whenever in the few occasions where somebody has asked me, like, hey Cole, do you want to play a game of chess, I always say no, because even though I fully grasp the rules of chess, like I know what pieces do what, it will reveal that I have a very inherently disordered mind, and I can't think more than like three moves ahead.
Yeah, it gets really embarrassing when you find yourself losing at like three games of blindfolded chess against someone at once.
Oh, I was with you on that because I was about to talk. Jonathan, I forget his last name. Guy we knew in college, brilliant guy. And the first time I met him, I don't know if it was the first time you met him, David, but the first time I met him, he was literally blindfolded with three chessboards in front of him, each of them playing a different person, one of them me. And he was carrying on a conversation about, you know, that weekend's basketball game while handily beating every single person blindfolded at chess. It was like a Bond supervillain, dude. It was so cool.
So how was he reaching out to grab the pieces?
He would just say, you know, bishop to c4.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like somebody playing through prison correspondence.
Yeah. The craziest thing, like, he was super personable. And the craziest thing was after we finished.
The craziest thing was everything you just described. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
But he reset the board to the point in the game. And he was like, you were doing really good right up to this point. And I was actually, you know, I was having trouble figuring out what I was going to do. And then you made this move, and that opened up this for me. And had you done this, it would have pressured me over here, and, you know, it would have been more difficult. He never said that we would have actually won. He just said it would have made it more difficult for him.
Right.
But, you know,
that's
like, actually,
the point where we then shot him because we knew he was actually a robot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But, like, you know, he helped. You know, he helped you. I came away. I was like, oh, I understand a little better, you know, how to play chess.
Yeah.
And he was really cool. So.
Yeah, it's like that scene in Kingpin where Woody Harrelson hears Randy Quaid bowl a strike. And he says, like, oh, you would actually do better if you tried to swing the six pin across the 10 or something just by sound.
Yeah.
So I have this. Okay. So every day since Christmas Eve, I have made a reference to Kingpin.
That's going to be your New Year's resolution.
I know, right? Yeah. I don't know. Just and it hasn't been forced. It's just come up. So I don't know. Huh.
Yeah, maybe no, you should just forget about that resolution.
There's a wonderful Radiolab episode about the book in chess, which is, you know, just the list of all moves that have ever been played in response to so and so, and their hypothesis, and, you know, what experts who study chess masters believe is because, like, eventually, you know, there are more possible moves in any given game of chess than there are atoms in the universe or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
That, like just once somebody is, like, tapped into that raw mathematical potential, they just kind of lose their mind. And they reference, like, all of these various chess gurus throughout history, you know, Bobby Fischer among them, who are just, you know, very imbalanced people. And they posit that as possibly being the reason why.
I know this friend, while I was kind of looking into that some, apparently at some point it was believed that, like, if you played more than, like, two games of blindfolded chess at the same time, you would innately go insane or something.
That's like, you know, reading the Arabian Nights all in one go. Like, I don't know if I believe that, but I think that if you spend your entire waking life steeped in that mathematical space, you might be a little bit a little bit broken as a side note.
You did just explain basically describe computer science or mathematics.
Yeah, why do you think I got the fuck out of that degree? So
it's if you spend your life that steeped in anything, you'll go insane.
Let's just say that. Yeah.
So check out Sphere Chess, you might go insane.
Very much so. But yeah, so I'll do mine here. This is these are two things related to the same company in the same game, but to the moon. You may remember me talking about this a little while back as a like 16-bit RPG visual novel that is kind of like a reverse Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind / Inception kind of thing. Really beautiful game. It's wonderful. I would put it up there, you know, again with Dear Esther or any of those other kind of interactive fiction-esque experiences. Well, that company, Freebird Games, has released a mini episode of To the Moon for free. It's like 20 minutes long. Haven't played it, but it's out there for free. Something like that. And really what they're doing is is to say really, really sorry for their next game, A Bird Story, being so delayed. So yeah, it's the same characters just telling a different story in the same world.
I think it's called Misdirection.
Maybe. Oh, it's a kind of like when what's his name? David Jaffe said his next game was going to make you cry, and then it ended up being like God of War 3, and people were like, actually, I kind of would have liked to play that other one you were talking about, but okay.
Yeah. Or like when Peter Molyneux says anything.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, man. But yeah, so I'm very intrigued about that. I need to be using my Windows machine for anything besides not obsessively playing Heroes of Might and Magic 3. but yeah, To the Moon. I may end up playing it pretty soon, though, because Freebird Games, again, that developer says that Mac and Linux ports of that game are not too far off.
Cool.
So yeah, those could be coming to Steam and, you know, with trading cards and whatnot. But I thought that it was already on Mac, but I was wrong. It's only on Windows.
Interesting.
Yep.
That looked like a really cool game.
That's fantastic.
Do they play it sad or happy or bittersweet?
That's bittersweet.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I dude missed it.
I thought the game was pretty forgettable.
Really? I forget. You played it?
No, I was just making a joke.
Oh, you were making a joke. Okay, sorry. No, I thought so, but I didn't know if you were entering a discussion about it because, you know, I will entertain you.
I don't want to talk deeply about
anything. Because then we were
going
to have to fight.
Yeah, no, it's real cool. So I'm excited about that. Anything from these developers, they are good writers to my mind.
Cool,
neat. Who's next?
I can go.
Go, Ben.
All right, I'll drop something in the thing. So it's kind of a news story I don't really care about, but since I
what?
Yeah, that's right. All right, so if you click on the link, it's just an image that WB Montreal released on New Year's Eve about the forthcoming Arkham Origins DLC. And so all it really shows is a statue, an award of relating to an event that's at the Wayne Manor. And it's covered in ice, kind of alluding to Mr. Freeze being in the next DLC. Huh. So cool thing about it is it's a story-focused DLC. It's not just like a new map pack. But the downside of it is that game was not that great. So, yeah.
Well, to be fair, this may just be them bringing the Mr. Freeze fight from City into Origins wholesale, like they did a bunch of other stuff from City into Origins. So, hey, that fight was pretty good.
That was a good fight.
Yeah.
That's true.
Probably one of
my
favorites of the generation, actually.
Ooh.
Oh. Provocative.
Gasp, you should.
Yes. Wow. Huh. Yeah, the Wayne Foundation Humanitarian of the Year is what
And so from the perspective of this image, sorry for talking about it on a podcast where you can't see, but I have no idea what size this image is, or this statuette or trophy or, you know, gigantic model. I have no idea what size that statue is.
They really need a banana for scale.
Yeah.
Right. Wait, is that – no, that's a microphone it's sitting next to, so.
Yes.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
I see it now.
Okay.
Shouldn't you be the person most best situated to know what a mic stand looks like?
Wait a minute. Okay, so do you see the one snowflake off to the right of the frame?
On the desk?
Yeah. So if you zoom in on that – 1,000 times, you will see that all of Arkham City is contained in that snowflake.
Oh my god.
So it's like the Grinch, you know, where the Whos all live in a snowflake?
Yep. That is exactly what it is. In fact, in order to signpost that joke, I was about to go, Father Dory.
That always struck me as rather depressing, because that just means what, within... yeah, within a couple months, just the entire world starts melting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the the candle that burns twice as bright. I don't know.
Basically, you wipe out entire civilizations every time you move or breathe or do anything. So
pretty much, yeah. No, it's like those Buddhist monks that carry the brooms around to swipe the dust mites out from their path.
Yeah. Has anyone ever explained germ theory to them? Like, I wonder how they deal with that.
I think that they stop breathing. They wear filters and stuff, actually.
I know there's actually a sect of, I guess it would be, I think, Hindu monks that basically believe that, like, taking any life is bad. So not only are they, like, don't eat meat, but they then don't eat plants and they just starve to death.
Oh, like those guys who claim to live off of light and just eat like two lentils a year or something like that.
Except that my understanding is these guys, it's considered like the end result is like you die. Like,
oh,
that's
okay.
What they're planning on doing.
Yeah, and they wear shirts made of hair. Huh. Yeah, the initiation is just a knife across the throat. No, I don't know. I don't want
to. No,
make
it's bad to take a life.
Oh, shit. It's a conundrum. Okay, they just let themselves die. Oh, wait. That's just what David described. Fuck. I don't want to make fun of people's religious beliefs.
I know. I feel like at the very least, I have to respect someone for carrying their beliefs to the logical conclusion, no matter where that leads.
I guess. Huh. Hey, David, what's your story? Before we inadvertently offend any part of our audience who may or may not be in Tibet.
I actually don't have one. I did not realize that we were doing the podcast this week. So
my story
was that New Year happened.
Oh, cool.
Ta-da.
We survived this year. The apocalypse officially did not happen.
Yeah. There will be feasting and dancing in Jerusalem next year, said the mountain goats.
I am gonna make it through this year.
What?
No, it's a good song, This Year by the Mountain Goats.
I played video games in a drunken haze.
Just listen to it on repeat.
Okay, all right.
Okay, cool. So I'll edit that in.
Twin high maintenance machines.
All right, there we go. And then we did everybody a favor. So... Yeah. No, that's cool.
Wait, on repeat you're going to edit it in? It's just going to loop for the rest of the podcast?
It'll be a 4-hour-long podcast.
to an image of a bishop going diagonal forever.
The grind. It is time for the grind, where we talk about games that we have been playing over these past 2 weeks. As we know, Christmas and related holidays are a time for family, but sometimes you got to back the fuck off and go to a room and play a game.
Amen,
so
brother.
I want to ask y'all if you've been playing anything new.
Yeah, I'll bring up one that we've been playing with a lot of different people, actually, which is Castle Crashers. So it's like a very cartoony 2D brawler that I think we all got through Steam one way or another. And we've been playing it it's up to 4-player co-op. So we've been playing it with myself, with David, with Jala, and Slade. Mm-hmm. So all, I think, people who listen to the show or are on the show, and all people who had a great time with it. I'd play the game. I want to say that OMG Moose gave it to me at some point in the past. So thank you again. It's an amazing game. I had only played it single player and it was fun, but I had no idea how much fun it was when you get up to 4 players going at once.
Yeah.
Like it's an entirely different game.
Yeah. This is kind of like it's developed by the Behemoth. It's a brawler, kind of like in the vein of the old Konami brawlers,
right?
Or like River City Ransom, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the best way to think of it, though, is it's developed by Newgrounds. Like, I think as a collective.
That's pretty bizarre to think. Like, yeah, because the Behemoth got their start with Alien Hominid, and that very much what was, like, Newgrounds the game.
Yeah, I was about to name check that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I haven't looked into it real far, but I think this one maybe does have some history on Newgrounds somehow in terms of like videos or something, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But Jala gifted me it on Christmas, so you know, this was kind of my, as you said, getting away from running away from family and being antisocial thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really fun. The humor in it is very, I mean, it's kind of juvenile, but it's one of those things where when you're in a group of people, especially if you're, you know, tired from Christmas and maybe a little drunk, it's really, really spot on.
It's like slapstick, like over the top violent humor kind of stuff.
Yeah. I
deer figure in heavily.
What?
Yes.
Deer figure in heavily.
Yes, yes. Rocket-powered deer are a major issue.
Also, one wrinkle that I never got doing the single-player game is once you're castle guys, knights, I guess, castle crashers going to rescue a princess. And at the end of the level, once you beat the final boss, you all fight then. It becomes like a competitive versus co-op. You all fight over who gets to kiss the princess. And so it's like this fun little co-opetition death match at the end of the level.
Huh.
Yeah, which was kind of funny and unexpected because, you know, I was like, I didn't know it was there because I hadn't done multiplayer before. And so I'm like, yay, we won. Why are you hitting me? Why am I dead?
Yeah,
what happened?
It suddenly becomes like the end of every little big planet level ever.
Yeah, slap fights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
which is the sound that your weapons make, and I don't know if it was just because I was using blunt weapons or if they all do this, but they all make slapping sounds as you hit people, be it a sword or a mace or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. The one thing I will say of it, though, is it's quite possibly the worst PC port I've ever seen.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, it's really, really bad. It's almost so bad that it wraps around to being like endearing how bad it is.
I mean, are we just talking like stability or keyboard mapping? What are we looking at?
Keyboard mapping. There's a number of things. One, like the default mapping isn't that great, and all of the instructions are always in like on-screen prompts and stuff are always in Xbox controller, no matter what you actually have things mapped to.
Yeah. So and it's then, this guessing game of like, hey, press A to continue. And you're like, well, shit, not only was it not A to begin with, yeah. but I changed the thing that it began with to something else. And so now there's all these like levels of transmutation or whatever that you got to go through.
Did you ever
get to it?
Did you ever play any of the latter day Mortal Kombat games for like PlayStation or Xbox?
No.
Yeah, that's probably for the better. I only mention that because like they did this really irritating thing where no matter what, every button was referred to by a number. And so if you were looking at the in-game move guide because you just wanted to see the fatalities, it would just be like press 1-2-2-1, sweep quarter circle forward, and then 3. It's like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? Does it presume that you have an Xbox controller plugged in or what?
Yeah, and to be fair, when you power it on, it tells you you should play this with an Xbox controller.
Right.
It's just I don't know. I don't think it makes a particularly strong case for actually needing it. Other than the reason you should play it with an Xbox controller is because we're not going to make any effort to help you.
Yeah.
Which is fair. I mean, at least they're telling us.
Yeah, at least they come out and say it. It was a great time.
Has anybody here played the Fez PC port?
No. Is that a little...
I very briefly.
I just remember the puzzly stuff and the XBLA version of that game required a great deal of Xbox 360 controller knowledge and mapping and stuff. And I'm just curious if that's a similar situation where they just say like, yeah, you're going to want this specific controller or not.
I think I've been playing more and more games where it's like, hey, best enjoyed with a controller.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I mean, you know, 2D platformers, puzzle platformers lend themselves to that control setup.
I mean, it's reasonable that is definitely what I would want to be doing if I had a controller.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I think that the more that I think about it and the more that it just kind of marinates, like the Steam controller is going to be like a day one purchase for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just out of curiosity, like I wouldn't say I'm stoking a boner for it or anything, but it's pretty tempting at this point, but
yeah, that would be cool if that just like took off and became just a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think it'll revolutionize the way we interact with games. It's just going to do something slightly better than has been done before, but it's been so long that there's been improvement made in control that, you know, it'll seem like a lot.
There was a YouTube video of like 30 games being played with the Steam controller,
mm-hmm.
And that made a pretty compelling case on top of all the previous ones that I had seen.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's not like there are going to be games that are made that are rendered unplayable if you don't have the Steam controller.
Right.
But it is a legitimately good innovation in an area where, I mean, basically, we've peaked out with the PlayStation 2 controller, and there hasn't been anything meaningfully better. I mean, maybe the Wii.
Wait, you don't like six-axis?
If I had a game that actually employed six-axis, I might have an opinion on six-axis.
Yeah, they stopped doing those in 2007.
Yeah.
It's weird going back and playing Metal Gear Solid 4 and having it be like, shake your six. Wait, this thing detects what?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, wait, what? Oh, you do that. That's right.
Huh, good for you.
Oh, that's sweet. Bless your heart.
Oh. God love you. Huh. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I feel remiss in not taking part in these multiplayer sessions, but I am, my ways are inscrutable.
Yeah, they've been really, really impromptu. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I've done it like 5 different times, just got on with random people and played. And it's always just happy chance that we're all on at once, which is the way it should be. But we could maybe look into doing something more regular or who knows what, if anyone's interested.
Monaco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Monaco would be a good one to do. I would like to have Ben involved in that if possible.
Sure. Yeah. A reasonable Ben stand-in. Send us your Ben impersonations.
Ooh. Ben surrogate. Yeah. Huh. So Dennis, anything else you've been playing?
Yeah, a lot actually, because it's the holidays, and I am much more on the, you know, slink away from friends and family side than the extrovert side than I thought. But you know, no, I had an awesome holidays, and got a chance with the extra time to really dive into some Vita games. Among them, Zero Escape: Virtue's Last Reward.
I'm so sometimes texts or, you know, whatever, but those texts that I've been getting from you about this game, I'm like, oh yeah, he actually like gets it.
Oh my God, this game is so good. And so literally of a 48 hour period from when I started the game, I spent 11 hours playing it. So like easily a third of my waking hours, if not more. Playing is a generous term. Like reading, experiencing, unraveling. Does that count as survival horror?
I wouldn't say so. No.
No.
But you're getting at it. If you're walking into this blind, it can either be like, oh, I didn't know that I wanted this kind of thing in my life, or it could be, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's like, okay, you know, if you're okay with watching video game cutscenes and you like really, really good stories, this is worth a shot.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, and it's like, it just keeps getting better. Mm-hmm. The basic premise of the story is almost like a Saw type of deal where, 9 characters are put in this, you know, arena together, forced to play a game to escape. And it's all about betrayal and trust and, you know, the dynamics between these people.
Yeah.
Which is just, the writing is really good. All the characters are really well fleshed out. None of them so far completely fall into like, hey, I'm a character and this is my thing. And, you know, that's their one thing. Mm-hmm. Throughout, they all have a lot of, you know, good nuance to them. And I'm starting to get to the point where you get more depth on everyone's backstory, which is cool.
For context, this is the game that is the sequel to 9 Hours, Nine Persons, Nine Doors.
Which I'm imagining that's not on Vita, right?
It's not on Vita. I'm actually tempted to like drive. I'm tempted to drive my DS Lite to you with 9 Hours, Nine Persons, Nine Doors, because you're eventually going to get to some plot twists that are going to be inscrutable, even in the context of this game, without having knowledge of that.
Okay, now, interesting.
Is this the game that kind of breaks the fourth wall where you kind of play it repeatedly, stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and I won't say too much about that because, one, I'm not sure to what extent it's breaking the fourth wall and to what extent this is actually happening to characters yet or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I will say it comes off the rails in some really interesting ways, and I'm in the middle of that right now. So
yeah,
it's really good. The game part of it, I guess, is like escape the room puzzles. Mm-hmm. Just like you'd find on addictinggames.com or wherever them kids go nowadays. But, you know, just, you know, look around the room, find the hidden objects, combine those objects to make keys. And eventually you do that enough, you'll get, you know, you'll be able to open the door.
Wait, isn't that what adventure games are? Side note.
Yeah. basically.
Like really limited environment.
Adventure
game kind of things. Like maybe at the most like 4 or 5 screens. And it's first person. And
adventure mini games,
kind of. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, you have this many items to deal with, and there's a good deal of like gameplay and story segregation that's happening, where some of the stuff that you're seeing is like relevant thematically, but like all of the exposition is taking place in these dialogues that are in between.
Yeah. Okay. And you're still given at certain points, you kind of make decisions as a character. So you are, to an extent, you're playing as someone. So it's the story's in first person. And you're kind of acting as this person, making decisions on their behalf at certain junctures. And the game does a really good job of having that character say the things that I'm thinking in that situation. So never have I had a decision made or an interaction with a character where what the person has said is, you know, completely off the rails or not what I have wanted, what I would have done in that situation. Which is really interesting, just speaks to how, I guess, well they tell the story, how well they thought of everything, that, you know, the characters and the situations kind of lead you to want what happens to happen.
Yeah.
Now, is it like Knights of the Republic where you see exactly what you're going to say, or is it like Mass Effect where you get like some sort of emotion and then you pick an emotion and then it says something different?
So you don't even get that much control. Like there are never do you get a dialogue option. You essentially will give in the opportunity to choose who you team up with at certain junctures, and then you will be given the opportunity to trust or betray someone at certain junctures. And there's never like, I mean, there's dialogue associated with that, but it's this choice is always as simple as team up with A, B, or C, or trust or betray. Like it's that simple.
So like one of the fulcrums of the game, and I know that you're trying hard not to spoil it, Dennis, but it's kind of like right there in the first 20 minutes. So you're familiar with the prisoner's dilemma, right, Ben?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like the prisoner's dilemma or Pascal's wager, except played out amongst these people
where Pascal's cat.
Yes. Yes. Except played out by these people in these different rooms. And you have teams of people, whoever you teamed up with, and there's like numerical rationales for who you can team up with and who you can't, kind of carried over a little bit from 9 hours, nine persons, nine doors. Mm-hmm. And so the story can branch depending on whether or not you choose to betray, or in the prisoner's dilemma, rat out that person, or trust, or, you know, decide not to shut your mouth. Knowing that there's like this ultimate scoreboard that if anybody drops to zero on it, they will blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool because when you choose who to team up with, there's, you know, basically that chooses who everyone else will team up with as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's this great interplay of, you know, you kind of experience the story and get a feel for these characters, who gets along well, who might be, you know, tension with each other, who's kind of a jackass, who's got their head on straight. And then you kind of think about who you team up with in the context of, okay, I know both these people will betray each other, will rat mm-hmm. each other out. So, you know, I'll make sure not to put them together. I can trust these two people to trust each other. So that's good. That'll be good for everyone. And then this person I'll put with me because I think I know what they'll do and I can react to that. So there's kind of this strategy layer on top of it too.
So everyone else an option?
You could go through the game and just try to betray everyone else every chance you get. You could even choose to team up with the gullible, or who you think is the gullible person, in an attempt to, you know, make it so they trust you and you betray them and you even get a bigger leg up. You could play it that way. Yeah. That might get to the point where it's starting to be contrary to the main character's motivations. I don't know.
Right.
I haven't been playing it that way, but it's just been in my head. When I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about it. It's, you know, since there's nine characters that you're trying to follow, I think the stat is that your brain can keep track of seven pieces of information individually right. before it all starts to fall apart. So trying to keep track of nine people and who knows what and who was where when, as, you know, different wrinkles enter the plot.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And so it's great. I'm loving it.
And what's impressive about it is everything is accounted for specifically as a function of what makes the game work. So every permutation of how stuff could work out has been written ahead of time.
Yeah. Yeah. They thought of everything, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say is it's yet another game where the touch controls on the Vita work really well. Cause you're essentially tapping the screen to continue, but when you're in the room, kind of swiping around the screen to look and tapping on things to select them is much easier than trying to use the left thumbstick as a mouse cursor,
yeah.
essentially. So I'm sure you use the stylus on DS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it works really well. And I've been enjoying that a lot.
So Dennis, would you be amicable? I know that you're really engrossed in this. Would you mm-hmm. be amicable to like taking my DS Lite and playing 9 hours, nine persons, nine doors? Like,
would you say
like,
before in the, I finish the rest of it?
Yeah.
I think I'd be okay with it. You know, as long as you're okay with that being gone for a while, I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't touched it in a good long time.
You do realize his history, right?
I realize his history, but I just like, I haven't seen him and I want to make an effort in 20 forward to like see you guys more. So,
yeah, no, that'd be for whenever we wind up hanging out next. I'd be fine with that.
I just,
now you're telling me to put down this game that I'm completely engrossed in.
Yeah,
so
yeah. No, you can finish it out. I just think that you would get a greater enjoyment out of both if you because it doesn't, man, it eventually comes into play where having knowledge of the first one will really enhance your experience with this one.
So one of the secret notes that I got, so if you, it's actually really cool. If you solve the puzzle one way, you can advance the game. If you solve it a second way, which is even more obscure or even harder to find, if you solve it that second way, you will get additional information. Mm-hmm. So secrets that some of it is just flavor, some of it is useful. So one of the secrets I got actually specifically referenced, hey, this guy that I hadn't heard of yet is a character from Nine Persons, Nine Doors.
Yeah,
and then he came up later. So I'm wondering if they through the secrets tried to flesh that out. But I'd be open to playing it. However,
possibly, yeah. So I mean, continue playing. You're kind of a ways away from it, and like stuff that doesn't make sense to you will just continue to not make sense to you. So like if you want to not get if you want to continue playing, that is fine. I just think that if you like this, I want to kindle this little ember of visual novel liking.
In you.
so yeah.
How long does the first one take to finish?
I'd say like 12 hours.
Not nine.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, as I've established, that's about 2 days of playing for me.
Yeah.
That's the game. Going back to work might pose a problem, but who knows? That's fine. We'll just have to we'll get together and we'll figure it out. But it's great. And this is not a series I would have tried had I not gotten it for free through PlayStation Plus, and I've loved it. So
that might be something I buy with like my Amazon Christmas box is like a year of PlayStation Plus, just to have.
It's pretty darn spiffy.
Yeah. Well, you like just the past year has been you making a case over and over again for PSN Plus.
I'm sorry for anyone who's tired of hearing that. My bad.
No. It's striking, and it's something that every company is like rushing to do. Reward people for those subscription things. Like I would love it if Steam or like GOG or the Humble Store was like, hey, pay us, X number of dollars a month and we'll give you just like a bunch of free games.
Oh,
we've talked
yeah.
about this a bunch of times. And the fact that you're getting this like one of my secret favorite games, it's great. And how many new experiences that is that opening you to? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Real quick, the other game I've been playing also on Vita is Gravity Rush, which is kind of the other big staple game was made for it.
Killer app.
Killer app. Again, there's not a killer app for Vita, but this is as close as you're going to get. It's done by Squaresoft, I want to say.
I can check that real quick. Keep talking.
Yeah, I don't want to go on until I have that right, because I know it's...
Let us see here. That is actually developed by Project Siren and published by Sony. So Project Siren, actually, holy shit, that's actually the old Team Silent guys. So the same people who did like Siren and Siren Blood Curse.
Yeah, hold on. SCE Japan Studio.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
Uh-huh.
So who is it? Who is it that did it?
Yeah, Project Siren, the people who did the really great survival horror games, Siren, Siren 2, and Siren Blood Curse.
Okay, I knew it was someone
played that.
No, I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, sorry, I knew it was someone noteworthy. I just totally spaced on it. Okay, anyway,
let me clarify. I haven't played Blood Curse. I've played the first Siren.
Okay, so real quick, the other game I've been playing is Gravity Rush, which is developed by Project Siren. And it's as close as you're going to get to like a killer app for Vita, which doesn't have a killer app, but this is kind of was put forward as one, I guess. Also for free, through PlayStation Plus. And I don't know if we've ever had that conversation where it's like, hey, what superpower would you want to have? like flight or invisibility or what have you.
I think we have.
Yeah. So I always go with gravity control. Just because it's like it's super control, super cool, and it can kind of encompass a bunch of other things. So like flight is in there, telekinesis and all this stuff.
Is that like one of those like bullshit Magneto things where you can make people explode because you control the iron in their blood?
You could definitely
telekinesis.
Like selective control of gravity.
Maybe.
Yeah. So okay. basically, and So where I'm going is this is the game I have always wanted in terms of living out my gravity control fantasy.
Wait a second. So for like flight, for example, you're decreasing the gravity between you and your Earth, but somehow keeping the gravity of all of your cells the same as it typically would be.
So think like I would look at a direct.
You can produce gravity or unproduce gravity.
Think about it this way. If I pick a direction and that direction is down for me now, I would fall in that direction.
Right.
Because technically, if you could control gravity under some physics theories, that would then mean you can control anything.
You guys know way more about science than I do.
Yeah. Well, no, gravity is just the attraction between any two bodies with mass. So
yes.
Right. So think about it the way I described it then. You look a direction and that direction becomes down for you and you fall/fly in that direction. And if you land on something while you're in that state, that, you know, you can stand on it, walk on it.
So it's like a 3D less hard version of VVVVVVV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's I haven't played VVV, but I know what you're talking about where you kind of fall, you're always falling in some direction. Yeah. But it just works really well. It feels really intuitive, and it in practice is just so badass. Just gonna go falling around to the side of things, or you know, be standing upside down to the rest of the crowd and walking on the ceiling and stuff like that. Like, it's just really, really fun. And the world is huge. So there are just the main map that you have. It could probably take you 5 minutes to fall across that easily, just going in one direction, falling. There are some levels where the entirety of the level is just falling downwards. And it's not like, you know, some looped, you know, hallway that you're falling down. It's like, you know, a unique level where you're just falling past things.
You're not falling past a scene from the Flintstones.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really, really cool. It's just, you know, I haven't seen a game that's done something like that before. And it makes for a lot of really fun interactions with the world. The art style of the game is really cool as well. It's done as a comic book. And so everything's got that kind of slightly cel-shaded look to it that Sly Cooper had. And you know how if you're reading a comic book and there's like a wall or a graphic novel or whatever, and there's a wall in the background, they'll kind of draw in one or two bricks and leave the rest blank and you kind of fill it in with your mind. So it does that for draw distance. So things way in the background will be silhouettes. Things as they come closer to you, they'll have like, you know, certain features. So like a building will get one or two windows in it, but not really everything. Kind of, and it'll be kind of drawn in just like the pen lines. Yeah. And then as you get close to it, they'll be fleshed out with color and detail and everything like that.
And does that work well as you're like falling towards things?
Oh, it works great. And in, you know, within levels, I've never had like a loading screen or anything like that. So it's just, it shows off the power of the Vita. And it's tremendously fun just to travel these great distances and just see the way the scenery comes at you, which is very pretty. So, that's a lot of fun. The actual gameplay is kind of not puzzle platform, but you know, you're using these powers to fly around, and complete different objectives. So, you know, all the missions kind of take place within the city. And you know, it's almost like a Jack 2 format or Jack 3 format. So pseudo like GTA format, I guess, where, you know, different objectives will be given to you, like kill this many enemies, or, you know, race through these checkpoints or, you know, that sort of thing. And you accomplish them. And again, just because it's so much fun just to do this whole gravity control thing, it's been very enjoyable to play. The story though is completely ridiculous. It makes no sense. And the plot connectors are really just like, you'll get a thing that says, oh, I really need a breath of fresh air. I should go somewhere else in the city. And then you get like a quest marker to go somewhere else in the city for no reason. And you'll meet someone there who's like, oh, I dropped my book off the side of this cliff. Could you go get it for me? It's like, okay, well, I guess I'll go do that for you. And you start going down and then the cliff just keeps on going down and down. And then you find like, you know, a major character down there for no reason being like, oh, you found me down here. Now we must fight. And it's like a major boss fight because you went to somewhere in the city for no reason, tried to help someone find their book, completely unrelated to anything else in the plot, and had a major boss fight. So
that's pretty great.
Yeah. Or, you know, like, the apparently God is this homeless guy who has a black hole as his body when he opens up his trench coat. And so you fly into the black hole to rescue portions of the city that have been sucked away by gravity storms. You have a cat who's just always kind of there. Apparently gives you your powers, which hasn't been explained yet. But then some sections of the game, your powers get taken away. And the reason is that your cat eats like something it shouldn't and gets sick. And that's why you lose your powers. Like, it's just completely random and makes no sense. But the mechanics of flying around and controlling gravity, you can also do like a stasis field, which allows you to pick up things around you and kind of have them float along with you. And then you can kind of fire them as projectiles, a la Dead Space. You can do that as well. And it all just comes together for really, really fun gameplay, tied together with a very pretty visual bow and a very bullshit story, which is comical in how bad it is.
So what seems pretty cool about this to me was, because of the crazy stuff they're doing with perspective, this seems to be uniquely positioned for mobile or for, portable gaming, just because you are kind of like looking at this small little window into this world where stuff is just kind of shifty and not quite what you'd expect. I think that if I was playing this game based on the videos that I've seen on my gigantic television, it would actually be kind of disorienting and sickening.
Oh, yeah, it would make you – I mean, it's some sections, even then, like if I'm playing in a dark room, it gets really disorienting in some of the more intense action.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the case, that having kind of a smaller screen with a wider field of vision that, okay, I am still upright, this is still okay, is definitely helpful. It's interesting, though, the visual cue that they give you to help you, because when you get into things, like, sometimes you lose track of which way is up and which way is down.
Yeah.
And, it's funny because you can only warp gravity for so long, and then you have to go back to regular gravity. And when that happens, I'll just fall off in some completely unexpected direction. I'm like, wait, what? What happened?
Gate is down.
Yeah. But her, the main character's hair and her scarf will always follow normal gravity.
Oh.
And so if you pay attention, you can kind of keep track of that just by looking at your main character.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So
do they have some completely nonsensical way to explain it? Like, this scarf is made out of gravitanium?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. No, they just the little message pops up. It's like, her hair will always point down. Oh, thanks for that. But like, it's, you know, the stories, man. Like, one is just randomly like a story about two high school kids dating, and you're like trying to help one find the other, and you fall in love with the high school kid. But then, you know, he's really in love with this other girl who's actually one of the hideous monsters that you've been fighting this whole time for some unknown reason. And then it never mentions them again after you solve the whole thing, and they live happily ever after. But it's just completely random. But a lot of fun to play. Yeah.
I dig.
So, Sir Des, do you use your powers for good or for awesome?
Oh, always awesome. I've been playing to the Stanley Parable, which I will just say that I've been playing it. Go play it. I will not say anything about it, because that would, you know, just go into it blind and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. And if you have played it, go listen to the Check It Out Comrade episode about it. I appeared
on
that.
Which I did.
Yeah,
it was good. And that's like 3 million hours on what I've been playing. So I did Starbound too, but I figure when one of money, you can talk about that or something.
No,
but
I'll talk about it.
Oh, there you go. Okay,
I claim Starbound. Otherwise, I have nothing else to talk about.
Okay. Good. Then yeah, take it away, because that's
okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff I've been playing.
Cool. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Holy shit, guys! Starbound. This is a thing. Like, this game isn't even completed. And I think I put like 37 hours into it.
Oh, man.
According to Steam, I'm not quite sure. Some of that might have been me leaving it on overnight. But it is a lot of time in this 2D interstellar Minecraft kind of Terraria kind of thing. So, David, you talked about this last episode. And I was already intrigued and already kind of into it. However, me experiencing it all for the first time has made me kind of forget what you already talked about.
Honestly, I went over it pretty light.
Yeah. So one of the things like about Minecraft that is really interesting for me, like, yeah, the building stuff and kind of exploring some of the caves, doing that spelunking, especially when they added like mine shafts, was, you know, really kind of cool. But like, I just really liked walking over the overworld and finding new biomes and seeing new interesting structures and world types and blah blah blah, and then I'd set up a bed and then just, you know, make a little path and just expand the amount of area that I went over. So that exploration is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
In Starbound, that taps into that in such a huge, awesome way that, like, you know, again, it's one of those special kind of things that feels like it is made specifically for me, and the way that I approach these kind of continuous, you know, for lack of a better word, open world kind of game kind of things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
This is that, it's like Terraria in space. When I say that it gives you a bunch of different types of things to explore, like, you can just put some fuel in your spaceship, and go to a different planet. And some of those planets have buildings and prisons and dungeons and blah blah blah, and you can go down into the surface of the planet and do like a Super Metroid style exploration kind of thing, in order to get more resources, in order to build things. There are tiers, so I'm like on tier 4 right now, so I just got my drill. I just fought like a gigantic skeleton dragon kind of thing.
Nice.
You know, in that, you know, each tech tier gives you like an ultimate thing that you can work towards in order to summon the boss for that level, which, you know, this isn't something that's news to a lot of people. One thing Minecraft lacks is a lot of game. There's not a lot of game there. This has a bunch of game to it, in that you're always kind of preparing and gearing up, and there are tiers, and there are different races and different kind of things you can go after. And yeah, so you always have something that you're kind of working towards, which I am as big of a fan as the next person of making my own goals. But this gives you goals to work towards, and if you're just sitting down to play something, it compels you to work towards that next thing. And yeah, it just feels so massive. Like, and the way that it does it, like, the different coordinates are just different seeds for different planets to randomly generate them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go, like, but it's effectively infinite given how much time you ever have to play this game, what you can experience. And I will just run around the entire surface of a planet, pillaging it of its riches, and then hopping back up to my spaceship in order to smelt. Yeah, like that, like that, like that Mega Man teleport transport kind of thing. Yeah, no, and just like there's a very definite, you know, feeling of progression. So people who are talking about this, like, are saying, oh, the caveman tier / Minecraft kind of stuff feels a little bit out of place. Like, you know, you start out with a spaceship, but the first big thing that you're trying to make is a pickaxe. Like, huh, that's kind of weird. And yeah, it is kind of weird, but like, going from a pickaxe to a drill is such a huge thing. And so does going from any kind of weaponry and blah, blah, blah. Like, the gamut that this runs, and knowing that I'm on tier 4 of possibly 9 or 10 or whatever they're going after, like, just makes me think this is such a huge, big thing. Oh, man,
also,
it's so good.
To be fair, one of the races are cavemen. One of the races are cavemen that have had a advanced race give them technology.
Uh-huh.
And one of the races is set in medieval times. It's stuck in medieval times. So caveman is actually fairly reasonable.
Yeah. So I've only ever done human, so I'm not entirely acquainted with those.
It's funny, you talk about all that stuff, and I got to the end, I created the distress beacon and won that boss fight, and then just kind of lost the plot of what I was supposed to do next.
Oh, that's just the beginning.
Yeah, so hearing you talk about this, I'm like, wait, what? You can do what? There are tiers? Are you kidding me? There's more than pickaxes? I thought my platinum pickaxe was pretty badass, but apparently not.
And so it falls into that Minecraft trap of, like, you kind of have to have the wiki open in order to get the most out of it. So it doesn't signpost enough, and that is, you know, this game very much is still in alpha. Like, they haven't filled out the content, you know, like, up until the distress beacon. Like, you lost the plot because it wasn't giving you quests, whereas it gave you the quest to do the distress beacon. And I can only imagine, like, their site is actually really cool about giving you their roadmap for development. And like, you everything will be like signposted with quests, which you may or may not like that depending on how much you enjoy freedom and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, after that, you kind of have to make your own way into it.
Yeah.
And you also have to be kind of cognizant of the fact that you may lose your world or your character, which happened to me before their last big update.
Yeah.
Or during their last big update. Yeah.
Gotcha. No, so the other thing that got me, and I hope they add, is you're right. You open up this star map when you get to your spaceship and you're ready to try a new planet. That is, this vast array of different planets. Like, it's effectively infinite, like you said. But I had no compelling reason to go to any of them. Like, unless I was like, oh, there's like forest, desert, ice, and maybe one other.
Yeah.
Once you've checked out all those biomes, moon, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you've checked out those biomes, there's really no compelling reason to go back to a planet of that type.
Right.
And so what I'd love to see, I know you said some of them have like villages and prisons and stuff like that. And I've seen pictures of that. But there was essentially, it was like blockbuster syndrome. I saw all these planets, no real compelling reason to go to any of them. And so I shut down and turned off the game. And I was like, well, I'll come back to that in a second.
See, I think.
Go ahead.
I think part of that is still being in development to a certain degree.
Oh, because for certain.
One of the things I've run into is I've actually found a number of really cool things. I found a ape-man city and a planet that was almost completely, probably half covered by a giant prison.
Mm-hmm.
However, the problem is they haven't really done a good job yet of instituting rewards for those things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can find these interesting, say, like, basically dungeons and, like, clear them, but right now there's not really any reward for doing so a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I actually thought of FTL,
mm-hmm.
how sometimes the planets in the system will say, like, distress beacon, and it's out of your way, but there's going to be something interesting there that is kind of a risk-reward situation.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And they've actually said they plan on adding more, getting more information about the planets. Although one of the interesting things you kind of touched on this, Cole, is since the planet's coordinates act as the seed for the procedural generator, anyone who goes to that planet will always start with the same planet.
Right.
So you can share interesting planets with people.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you input coordinates and then there will be a planet there?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like if there is a planet there for me, the exact same planet will be there for you.
Like down to the brick, or is it?
Yeah, down to the brick.
Oh, that's nuts. Cool.
The downside to it, or the plus side, depending on what you want, is you can like look on the wiki and be like, hey, here's a planet that happens to have this ultra powerful weapon right next to where you start out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the downside into it is it's one of those things where if you want to cheat, you can. Cheating is in quotation marks here because this is a sandbox game, but if you want to cheat, you can.
You could have just randomly stumbled upon that, but you didn't.
Right, right. So, yeah. I'm hoping, it seems like usually the way things work is they find a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of find their balance of what I'm saying.
Yeah. Along with that, like with how many planets you can go after, I would love if there was an ability to bookmark planets.
Yeah.
So you can mark something as being home, mm-hmm. and you can warp to it wherever you are, which is nice. So I put some chests there with stuff that I wouldn't mind losing in the next update. Like all the stuff that I want to keep is on my starship. Like you say, you mark stuff as home, but like I have a whole text document, like an NVAlt, that just has coordinates for, planets that I've found.
Yeah.
And it would be great if there was something like any planet that I've been to, it was added to some kind of document in the game. And I could actually like put in a description for that and return to it, as opposed to relying on this external source that I keep track of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, just as a side note, the last update for me, at least, what it did is delete everything that was on my ship. So I've actually been doing the exact opposite, is not stored anything I don't want to lose on the ship.
I have no idea. So, like, this says volumes about the game, I think. Maybe I don't mind so much that I might lose everything. Like, yeah, it'd be like a bummer, and I might not play until it's more stable. But, that doesn't fill me with dread and like, oh, I will never do this again, because now that I know the progression, I can just go through it quicker.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like we talk about this more and more, that kind of knowledge is power in the game. And once you know how to do something, you can kind of get through it faster and faster.
Yeah.
Correct. I do want to share one of the experiences that really made me smile is, on my starting planet, I was exploring, and all of a sudden I find this anchor with this chain leading up into the sky.
To a pirate ship?
Yeah, if you go, there's basically this air pirate ship, non-hostile. It's a good place to buy guns. But it's just all these bird people, like, armed to the teeth. And so what I did for the end of the first boss is just climbed up to the top of the pirate ship and summon the boss, and then just everyone starts shooting at the boss.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's
so
really good.
I actually got that from the wiki. I'm not that smart on my own, but that still really made my day.
I just loved finding out, and I think I can't remember who pointed it out to me. It might have been Phil Holmes, or it might have been someone else, but that when you talk about walking around the planet, you can literally walk around the planet.
Yeah.
But if you walk left for long enough, you will reach, you know, where you started.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that works. It obviously doesn't work for down, but I don't know if there's like a lava table that you just...
There is.
Okay, that you can skip below.
Lava will F you up big time.
Yeah, but because dying only takes away 20% of your pixels, that is the best way to get back to your ship.
See, I've actually found the death cost to this game to actually be kind of excessive. Like, I don't know, I really have trouble getting enough pixels, but that's probably just a game.
If you get to the refinery and you're beyond where like copper and silver are meaningful to you, that is a way to recoup that, because you will always find those ores.
That makes sense. They've also they just kind of, for information, they're adding more and more atmosphere things to the levels. So right now, for a while now, plants could get too cold for you, and you know, would get colder at night, stuff like that. So if you weren't dressed warmly enough, you would eventually run out of heat and start taking damage.
Yeah.
And they've now added planets that don't have any air.
Yeah, no atmosphere. So, like asteroid belts, and also moons. Certain
and
kinds of moons that actually have the moon biome on them.
It entertains me that you can, and I've done this before, just like beam down from your ship and mine things as quickly as possible while holding your breath.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And not just exploding into goo. Yeah. Oh man, this game is so good. Like, anybody who has if you have the means, like, don't be discouraged by the fact that it's an alpha or early rough beta or whatever. It's it is a delight.
Yeah. There's so much potential there,
and that's all I've been playing.
Sense of humor too.
Yeah, has writing, which is rare for this kind of game, you know. Like, so this scratches the alternate Minecraft survival thing in a way that, like, I wanted Don't Starve to, but it didn't end up doing that much.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I love Don't Starve's visual appeal and style and general tone, but from, like, a game standpoint, like, I don't enjoy its loop as much as I enjoy this. And granted, I've never played Terraria, so this could all be moot. You know, somebody who has played Terraria is probably screaming at me through their speakers. Speakers do not work that way.
Silly.
Technically, they do, but
well, yeah, you just have to reverse the magnet. But yeah, Sorry. See, I know. reverse schooled? I don't know.
Reverse clarity. It solves all of Star Trek's problems.
school combo breaker. School escape.
Yeah. So that's really all I've been playing. Yeah.
Oh, just cool. One other thing. Have you picked up on any of the potential side storylines they're kind of setting up in the game?
No.
For example, like this prison I found, it was a human prison.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you go into it far enough, you'll find like posters for the Ape Men's basically equivalent of Big Brother.
Oh yeah, what is it? There's no need to be upset or something.
Right. Stuff like that. So there's just some. It's just like.
So that's how I feel about Starbound. let's see here, Ben or David, who wants to go next?
I think you've covered between you and Des have covered everything I've been playing.
Castle Crashers and Starbound, cool. So Ben, you alluded to being really disappointed with something you played. Is this Beyond?
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
game kind of sucks. I spent all of yesterday playing it. I'm close to the end. I'm a few missions away from the end.
Okay.
I sent Dennis a text yesterday where they start to introduce an element of the game, and it's like, oh, I can tell that this is the point of no return, where it's like kind of fun before that, kind of stupid after that.
I'm trying to think about what new gameplay element it was. Are you talking about the romance? Because I hated that.
Yeah, that was out of left field and only really, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, no, like it would have been cool if the guy wasn't a fucking douche.
Wait. Tell me that the romance is between someone and the poltergeist.
Well, I don't know. It's not devoid of that idea.
No.
But I don't know. Yeah, the game just kind of sucks. so one of the things I wanted to bring up is one of the things that was missing in this game that was in Heavy Rain is the idea of it being quote unquote interactive entertainment, because that's how they build Heavy Rain, you know. And playing this game just for like just to see what would happen in many of the cutscenes or whatever, I just would not press any of the buttons to see what would happen, and it makes no difference.
Really,
you might get a different cutscene at the end of your person being beat up instead of them being like okay, but there's no difference. Like it totally forces you. You know, there's nothing on the line.
Feel bad,
I guess, but there's. The characters aren't that interesting, so I'm not invested in the story at all. So it's like, yeah. So I was really bummed out because there's just nothing on the line. I have no vested interest in the fight scenes. Like at least with Heavy Rain, you knew that at any point one of your characters could die. So mm-hmm. that made, you know, pressing the buttons like a very stressful experience. You were very involved with that because you wanted to make all of your characters live to the end and get more story out of it. This one is just not the case. So it's basically like a lot of the contrivances they had in Heavy Rain were kind of in the background and it wasn't a big deal. You know, like you could kind of ignore them. Like one I can think of is there's one scene where a guy has like an alcoholic father, which is a serious idea. But like the way it was depicted in the game is just like silly, where the guy just, I don't know, mumbles and yells at the kid and doesn't, you know, like, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? It's just like a caricature. And so, like, in Heavy Rain, a lot of that stuff was in the background. It wasn't a huge detractor of the game, and there was at least enough substance to ignore it. In this game, it's kind of like all of those are in the main part of the story now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, any of the depictions of teenage angst are so crushingly awkward.
Yeah.
Teenage angst is awkward.
Yeah, excuse me. So manages to be so crushingly awkward in the complete wrong way.
Okay.
It's like watching a Full House episode, pretty much. You know? What did you learn? But so I'm pretty much just playing it to beat it and just be done with it. But what were you gonna say, David?
Oh, I was gonna say I might watch Full House if every so often, like, some ethical power, you know, explodes a mirror and razor shards someone. That might actually make that worth viewing.
Oh, is that what you do at the party if you go back for revenge or something? I don't know. I don't know what party you were referencing.
Yeah, that's one of the party options.
Okay. I left. I took the high road, so I didn't see what resulted from that.
Both you and Dennis. Could be two shoes.
No, I didn't. I didn't leave. I went at him. I carried it.
You carried that shit. Okay.
Yeah. So
I don't know if it makes any difference, but I kind of half-heartedly pulled the thumbsticks. So, like, you know, to most of the interactions, you kind of pull back the thumbsticks like you would pull back a slingshot and then let go. Mm-hmm. And the longer you hold it down, the harder
the effect. That's the madness.
Yeah. So I I don't know if it had any effect, but I only kind of half-heartedly did it. Like, just kind of gave it small flicks, and I didn't seriously injure anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's
sounds like you're trying to justify this to yourself.
I'm trying to justify playing this game to myself.
Yeah. There's like one scene 2/3 of the way into the game. It's like one sequence or one chapter or whatever. That's completely irrelevant to the rest of the story. Like,
not a.
Yeah. I didn't want to spoil anything, but yeah, it's like, what? Why include that in the game? Like, what? Maybe it'll come up later, but. It seemed like it reminded me of the episode of Power Rangers where like Tommy has to find his spirit animal and he goes on like a, I don't know, soul searching like hike or something, but it had nothing to do with Power Rangers at all. And it was like, what's going on here? That's what I felt like that mission was like in the game.
That's funny.
That's a dated reference.
All right. So. The Emperor Has No Clothes. I talked very positively about this. Not very positively. I talked positively about this game when it came out. Probably enough to get you guys to check it out.
Shame on you.
But there's so much there that I wanted to like.
It would have been so successful if it would have managed the scope of it, of the relationships it was trying to portray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, what's her name? God,
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, no.
Judy?
Ellen Page.
Yeah, Ellen Page. Sorry, I'm a little bit in my cups. But yeah, so managing like so just showing Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe, great, mm-hmm. cool. Like that is like him as a surrogate father and talking about like her resentment over her actual parents, quote unquote, leaving her and blah blah blah. Like, cool. Like that was awesome. But then it tried to expand it and make it something else. Mm-hmm. You know, like with the romance subplot, which caused every single thing that it touched to fall as flat as possible.
Yeah.
Like, and even like the Incredible Hulk stuff where she's kind of on the run, like that kind of worked. Like her with her little kingdom of homeless people. Like that kind of worked for me. So I just needed to pick something and go with it, as opposed to trying to be like this whole thing. And so what this is revealing is just something that I've known for a very long time about myself, which is I can ignore the awful things about something in order to play around in the fantasy world created by the positive aspects and what they hint at as like being the best possible version of this thing they were trying at.
Speaking of which, have you ever played Dishonored?
Stay tuned for the after credits for that.
Yeah,
but
like what I said last episode, that oftentimes in video games, the idea of the story that's there, the idea of what's going on, is so much better than the actual execution. And it's like this is a game that focuses on trying to fix that. And while the idea of what's going on is still very cool, it completely fails at fixing that.
Yeah, it revels in falling short.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that's video games' big strength. You know, video games tend to be all about the experience, all about atmosphere, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So usually games can sell pretty hard on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even still, I like what this game implies. Even if the actual experience of playing it, and you know, I played it over the course of like 2 or 3 days, and probably didn't consider it very well. You know, aside from just kind of like, oh, I paid a bunch of money for this. I'm gonna see it all the way through. You know.
Now, I've not played any. I didn't play. Blue Prophecy? I didn't play.
Yeah. Blue Prophecy or Green Rain, yeah.
um, I didn't play any of these. Isn't this kind of what this guy does, though? That seems to be... It's kind of like the Fable guy over-promising.
Yeah, see, I didn't think
I don't think so. Heavy Rain, yeah.
Yeah, it succeeded really well, I think. Like, people will bash it for, like, French voice actors and stuff, and it's like, okay, you know, they were working within some limitations, and, you know, look, they went and got A-list actors, and it didn't help. Like,
it helped. From the actual execution, like, if you're talking, so Heavy Rain was kind of an executional mess in terms of, like, actually what it was trying to be, which was an interactive movie, because of the actors. That's really all that I'm talking about, like, visually
popped up in some of the scenes.
I loved the story of Heavy Rain. Like, mm-hmm. I just, you know, just like taking this and, like, okay, it's Seven, but you're playing it. Awesome. Great.
Yeah,
I'm 100% behind that. But
I didn't think the acting was that bad either. Like, everyone, you know, saw a Jason meme, and then that's all they remembered.
Mm-hmm. Jason.
Jason!
And, I mean, there was more stuff like that in there, but I don't
think
pretty
much every child actor. Yeah.
I don't think it was nearly as bad as people remember, though.
So Heavy Rain, it sounds like, proves that this thing he's doing can work.
Yeah. Yes. I think what needs to happen is he needs to make his game, and then we need to take it from him, shove him in a cellar, and give it to an editor, and then release whatever they, you know, finish with. And then we'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the main thing is that the format of this style is very sensitive to the type of game that you're playing. You know, like, if you don't have the right storyline or the right characters in place, it's not going to be a fun game. It's like, Heavy Rain nailed it because it was in a format where any of your characters could die, and that, you know, put a lot on the line. And it was just all – the narrative was just a lot of fun because it was like reading a detective story, you know? So you really wanted to find out what was going to happen in the end.
Really what I want is Zero Escape Virtue's Last Reward with a little more moment-to-moment interactivity.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That would be perfect.
Namely none, as we're describing Beyond Two Souls having.
But yeah. I think that's the main point, though, is it needs to be interactive, though. I don't want to just watch a movie that I press buttons to, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I do want to have some impact on the narrative.
But you can't complain if every little incident doesn't have an impact on the overall story. Like you said, you know, okay, if you don't push any buttons in the fight, she still comes out okay at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's only so many things that you can plan for and have permutations of before it gets too big to handle.
There are certain points in Heavy Rain where your characters, like, very unexpectedly don't have plot immunity. Like, it's been, what, 4 years, so we can say this? Like, mm-hmm. when Madison gets carried down into the crazy dentist guy, she can just die there. And then you don't have her throughout the rest of the game. That is something that's really, really cool about Heavy Rain, which is, like Ben said, you just don't know when people are going to die, and that can actually have a very strong impact. And if you don't have them for that final confrontation, that alters the final ending point of the game,
and also decreases your chances of being able to have a good ending. Which you know, it's kind of like the Mass Effect game mechanic, where, you know, you're trying to build up for the ending fight.
Yeah.
So we've done a Beyond Two Souls extrasode. And a Dishonored extrasode within the episode.
No, it's fine. I think that we've been okay. Anybody who is already going to play Beyond Two Souls has already played it.
Yeah.
So
if they're on the fence, they don't need to play it.
I don't know.
So I mean, I would still like to support this type of game because I think it's a really good format and it has a lot of potential, but. I don't know, man.
They make some dumb decisions in the back third.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
So.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am very sorry that you didn't enjoy it. I feel responsible for a good portion of this podcast having played the game, and like I do not regret the time that I spent with it. However, you know, all those caveats that I put on anything I approach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got XCOM on the horizon, so I'm looking forward to that.
Enemy Unknown?
It's the expansion, but yeah, it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Very cool.
It's Enemy Unknown and Enemy Within.
Yes.
So is that everybody?
I think
Holy shit, this is a long episode. Let's go.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you to participate with us in certain questions given to the day. So in the last episode, we kind of alluded to what we were going to talk about, which is, hey, how did you do on your 2013 gaming resolutions? I'm not too fond of New Year's resolutions, just kind of as a matter of course. But, you know, there's some things that we said we would do, and damn it, I want to find out if you held to them. So let's take a look here. Dennis, why don't you read what Tim said?
Yeah, sure. So Tim says, I'm not sure I made any resolutions for 2013, but for 2014, I'm trying to play more tabletop games. I keep buying these cool board games that just sit in my closet. Already started to organize a group, so things are looking up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tabletop games are awesome.
Yeah. I haven't played too many of them, but I understand that they are a thing people play.
I actually started going to a board game club. Excuse me. A board game club this last year. So I've been playing more of those types of games, I think, if they're the same ones that I'm thinking of. But, yeah. Play Power Grid. Do it.
Power Grid. Is that a board game, card game? What is that?
It's a board game, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, haven't heard of that. Neat. Let's see here. David, what's Quentin say?
Quentin says, I have to go along the lines of Tim. How is that pronounced? I'm sorry.
Schumacher?
Schumacher.
Schumacher. All right. Quinn says, I have to go along the lines of Tim Schumacher. I don't have any for 2013, but for this year, I'm planning on playing more games as a means of decompressing and chilling out. Yeah. I've had a severe shortage of that lately. Also, going to try to play some major older titles that are leaving large gaps in my gaming history.
Yeah.
Got to backlog that backlog.
Yeah, I got to unclog that clock.
I have to say, I need to check here. If I take these capitalized letters, do they like spell out
a triangle? Yeah, that's what I was looking at right now. I don't think they do.
Later... Boners. Wait a minute, what? Oh man, hoist up my own petard. Oh.
No, so I think question. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, I think a question for Quentin is what's the rationale for capitalizing the words that you do? Because I also sometimes capitalize random words that just feel like they need to be capitalized.
Idea. I always capitalize idea. I don't know why.
That's because you have a business major.
Well, no, if you, business major would be capitalizing solution.
Of course.
Yeah. No, so I will capitalize things that I want to be treated as a proper noun. So like if I'm ever writing out a thing, like, hey guys, this is a thing, I will always do capital A, capital T. Mm-hmm. And you can see that in Hex Crank a lot. I will actually do that, where if a regular mundane concept is to be expressed with importance, it will be capitalized. But
this is one of those things I intend to do after every Steam sale is kind of get onto my backlog and then never actually do.
Well, since we're on the halfway point of these responses, is that your resolution, David?
I don't know. Probably, unfortunately, my resolution is going to have to be gaming less. Because I'm in graduate school now.
Yeah.
But my resolution for last year was to beat more games and to actually finish more games. And I believe I finished 3 games this year.
Was that more than the year before?
Oh, that was dramatically more than
more than the year before.
Yes. Which is kind of sad. I also made some comments about perhaps a resolution being to play Mass Effect, which I didn't do, but I never actually committed. Therefore, I am saying I did not technically make that resolution, and therefore I kept my New Year's resolution.
Nice.
So, Dennis, how about you? How did you do for 2013?
I think I did pretty good. My resolution was to play more co-op games, and I was looking through the list. I had a fair number of them. For couch co-op, I did a lot of stuff with my wife. I did a little bit of Borderlands 2 with her, which was hilarious. I did both of the Rayman games. Which
I would like to point out, it's only co-op if she's not trying to kill you.
then I will scratch Super Mario Bros. Wii off the list because that is a fight instigator. But also did Mario Kart and that sort of thing. We did a little bit of Little Big Planet karting, but that was so bad that I don't think I even mentioned it on the show. Really bad. We played through a good portion of Little Big Planet 2, and that was a lot of fun. And then online, all through Steam, actually, I played Trine 2. I played a lot of Left 4 Dead 2, and then just recently, to round out the year and put an exclamation point on it, I did Castle Crashers, like we were talking about. And then hopefully whenever they figured out the Starbound servers, we can get some Starbound co-op going on.
Yeah, definitely. True. Yeah, no, I kind of want to wait for it to get more stable before I do that, but I could see that being a thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, no, I feel really, really good about the last year. It was a lot of fun with a lot of people. I'd love to keep that going. Yeah. The other thing I think is I didn't really do Steam much before this year started.
Yeah.
And I've kind of had my Steam awakening over the past, several months. So I'd love to, for my 2014 New Year's resolution, if I can be that presumptuous, I would like to kind of do more of the indie games that you can get through Steam.
Yeah.
Kind of be much better about hopping on those and hopping on those early.
It's a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I don't remember what my resolution was. I have a never look back mentality on that. My resolution for this year would probably be similar to Dennis's, where get a capable computer, whether that is a Steam machine or a new computer, and play the games that I already own but cannot play.
Right. Yeah. And so before we move on to other people's stuff, to round things out, I'll do mine. So mine was really just to get the backlog more under control, which just every year, that's what it is. And I've stopped, buying so much stuff that I don't play, a bunch of the stuff that I've gotten, I've either said, nope. I really, the last thing I need is more of that in my life, or actually beating it. So like The Last of Us or, Beyond Two Souls, just like, I'm going to beat this, and then it's done and it's out and it's over with. And then just in general, getting in control of that.
And you got a hella categorizing system.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I've got, let me look over here. I've got that cork board with all of the index cards on it. Just in general, like it's hard with work and then all of the podcast commitments that I have, really, just staying on top of it, and really how many games I can get through in a given time is indicative of how orderly I have my life at that particular moment. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's kind of the more games I can play, the better I have my shit together. So
that's a nice measuring stick.
Yeah,
I'll have
right?
to try that on Jen. Jen, I'm playing more games. It means I have more of my shit together.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Good luck with that, Dennis.
Also, my life is not indicative of anybody's level of, success. So.
Oh.
Yeah. No, so they just don't let the way that I measure myself reflect on the way you measure yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So looking on this here, we have Phil via the contact forum who says, "Hey, this is a bit long, so feel free to trim it down." I don't want to trim it down. Last New Year's Eve/day, I was stuck at work. I was working for a company that delivers specialty hospital mattresses, and at 2 a.m., my work truck broke down outside of the city. Now, I had a little background in IT, and as I waited for a supervisor to come pick me up, I made a New Year's resolution to make some progress in my career field so I wouldn't be stuck doing jobs like this anymore. Well, it worked. It worked really well. During May, I went to work for a dairy company while at the same time pulling extra time freelancing for another company and still working part-time at another job. But I kept at it, and in August, I had an interview scheduled. I nailed the interview, got the job on the spot, and now work as a network engineer for an amazing company, where the worst part of the day is the commute. Sometimes having the resolution set in your mind will make you do what you normally wouldn't, and sometimes it pays off. So, yeah, congratulations, Phil. I know that wasn't specifically cool. related to games, but, you know.
Ouch, dude.
No, I didn't mean that as like some kind of stealth burn, but, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Nice. Good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's real cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see good things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So thank you. Thank you for writing in and sharing with that. I love hearing success stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here. Who hasn't read one? Wants I to haven't. Go to Ben, read Geolaw.
Yeah. Geolaw says, I resolved to do more retro gaming in 2013. I did wind up following through with that, but not really the way I thought. I planned to follow along with WoW, watch out for fireballs, which I did for a few games, but I ended up going my own way and following the deals of Hundle Bundle and Steam Summer Sales. Got to play some games that were only mildly retro, as well as some great indie stuff. This year I'm going to take a page out of D. Furia's book and try more co-op games and try to get some quality time with the misses. Starting with Rayman Origins, since I recall you guys liking that. Any other suggestions? Question mark.
Dennis, this is your time to shine.
I think I just listed them out. Little Big Planet 2 is awesome. Rayman Legends, once you finish Rayman Origins, I think I've enjoyed even more than Rayman Origins, which is I thought was impossible.
Yeah.
Mario, as far as kart racing goes, thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Mario, as far as 2D platforming goes, thumbs down. Stay away from it.
I'd like to add Portal 2. I think that can be good if you're playing next to the person.
Oh yeah. If you assume that you know the misses can do any gaming controls, which is that's perfectly valid assumption.
Specifically, first person controls. Yeah.
Then a whole world of possibilities opens up. I remember liking Army of Two a lot, but that was more for a bro vibe than anything else. That was just a fun one to play.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
Oh, there's a lot of beat 'em ups out there that weren't really my cup of tea or Jen's cup of tea. But if you like beat 'em ups, then there's a lot out there that are good.
Yeah. Is Rayman Legends satisfying if you don't have the Wii U with its big tablet?
There are levels that are frustrating, but on the whole, they minimize the amount that tablet is used.
Yeah, I got my little sister Rayman Origins for her for a Christmas gift.
Oh, cool!
And haven't heard if she liked it or not, but I don't know. I'm kind of that person who's like, hey, check out this game. You may not know that you want it, but you want it.
Yeah. Hey, it worked for Virtue's Last Reward, so.
This is true. Yeah. Let's see here. And then Nick Basile says, my goal was to stop buying new things until I was finished with the old ones. And then they kept releasing more games, and fuck. Next year, guys. Seriously. I don't know. It's one of those things. So, like, with this most recent Steam sale that is still going on as of the time this is recorded, may or may not be still going on by the time this is released, I'm not sure. Like, I'm looking at it and realizing, like, I already own all this stuff.
Oh, good. It's
I
not
bought
just
all
me.
The games.
Yeah. So like, I still have it. And, you know, the games that I got for Christmas and stuff from various fans and from other co-hosts on the podcast is like, oh, cool. I'm very happy that I have those. Now I don't have to watch for them. But, like, I think that there is this weird saturation point that's reached where you can get it under control. And it's not, you know, it's not a fire hose. It's a trickle.
You're so out of control that you're in control?
Yes.
Tokyo way to drifting. Cure your addiction is to drink all the booze.
the only way to be in control is to be out of control. Tokyo Drift. R.I.P. Paul Walker.
The sad thing is I knew exactly what you were saying.
kind of? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think that the biggest lesson to be learned in this year of our Steam Lord is there is more media in this world than you could ever hope to consume, be it music television, video games, books, or movies. So you just have to make your way through it, because it takes everything
you can
afford
to be selective.
Yeah, a little bit.
Otherwise, you end up playing Beyond Two Souls.
I don't like being called a hypocrite, David. I enjoyed my time. I learned from that experience.
Yeah, I obviously have never played any of those games. So.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody. You know, I'm not a New Year's resolution types. I think that it's more about, fresh starts and modest changes, right? But I think that if you fail a little bit, that means that your change was modest enough.
Right. Wait, can you diagram that sentence?
I think that if you failed a little bit, your change was modest enough.
Ah, got it. Okay.
There we go. It's not about your intent. It's about where you actually got, right?
It's about achieving failure.
A little bit, yeah. So
I just think that last year completely sucked, but this coming year is going to be awesome.
God damn it! I am so tired of that attitude. I just don't.
Cole, I think you just found like a really nice, kind-hearted way to say like push yourself right up to your breaking point.
A little bit.
Like go right up to failure. Don't go too far beyond it, but right up to failure.
Yeah, fail a little bit. Like if you don't. You know, if you don't draw a little blood, you don't know how far it's too far to cut, right?
You're never a failure unless you try.
Right. That's an incredibly badass statement disguised as a very, like, you know, meager statement. I like it.
Yeah. No, that's a man. I get so irritated when people are like, man, 2014 is going to be it. This is going to be the year of blank and blank, where blank and blank is the person who's saying it. It's like, yeah. Celebrate that you lived through the last year, not like the crazy ephemeral promises. You may get cancer this year. You have no idea. You have no idea. You lived through 2013. Celebrate your growth.
I do like the audacity of claiming the year for yourself, though. Yeah. This is the year of Ben Merkel. Fuck everybody else on this planet.
Hey, get off my year. Get off my year.
Quit horning in on my year action. This is this is the summer of George. Wow. Hey, 20-year-old reference. So, so thank you everybody for writing in. Stay tuned to the Facebook group for more questions. That is facebook.com/thelevel. And, I didn't say it at the end of last year, I don't think. So I'll say it at the beginning of this one. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We've had a really good year of people listening and participating. And the fact that you all pay attention to us and give of yourselves every week in order to make this program better, it is awesome. I won't speak for everybody else, but I think it's cool.
It's fantastic. Yeah, the community. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this year, like last year, we have not fixed over talk problems.
That's fine. Don't worry. No, it's Skype. It's everybody recognizes we go over it, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys want to button it up?
Ben,
Christmas is over. I'm not saying anything.
That was your gift.
I'm Ben. Yeah, you could button it up.
Is that what I sound like? David, can you do a Ben impression?
No.
You know what? That's kind of
this
like
is why group. I said people need to send in their Ben impersonations.
We can just play
because otherwise we're going to get to a podcast we cannot finish.
I don't want us to start doing impressions of each other because that will just hurt feelings.
However, if someone sends in an impression of Ben saying, yeah, you can button it up, we will totally use it.
Yeah. <that's fair.
laughs> Do it. Cole at duckfeed.tv. So yeah,
but they'll have no reference to go off of though. So how can they?
You said it for like 32 episodes before you started getting like chilled about it.
Maybe.
Yeah. So. Oh man. So that
as
was
I said, I don't have a good memory, and I'm sorry that I keep interrupting you. Finish the show.
That's fine. Oh man, I just snorted. What?
2014, year of the snort.
No, man. Yeah. I really don't want that to be a thing. I'm just very tired. So
2014, a year for pigs.
Oh, man.
Title.
Nope, the title for this episode is Very Thirsty. So, this has been the 45th level. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Go ahead and leave us a rating or review on iTunes. That always helps us out. Like us on Facebook, as we previously mentioned. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. And there are other shows on the network. That is, specifically, let's say, Check It Out Comrade about indie games. There is Watch Out for Fireballs, Bonfireside Chat. Check out Hex Crank, the old Survivor Horror blog. The first of the new year brought us an article about Friday the 13th. So check that out. And I would like to announce that the new year will also bring new episodes of Those Damn Ross Kids. We're trying to work that out. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, real life can't stay in the way forever. But yeah, that's going to be coming here soon. And you can listen to old episodes of that show to catch up. But otherwise, just, the usual stuff, going to duckfeet.tv/tipjar, using the Amazon link. You all have been killing it on that for the holiday season, and that does do a great deal towards helping us be able to host the shows and also maybe do some promotion. So, yeah.
Can I do a little bit of counter promotion?
Yes.
All right. There's this thing I found out.
Don't watch our show, man.
Well, there's this thing I found out about today called smile.amazon.com, where it's like the same thing as DuckFeed, but you can choose like charities like St. Jude's Foundation and stuff like that.
Right, right.
I don't know if they work together. They might, so that might be worth trying. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we're trying to see how much of a percentage we can embezzle from Amazon.
From the Make-A-Wish. Yeah, so like what you're saying is, instead of their affiliate earnings going to us, it would go to St. Jude's and to other worthy charities. I would not discourage you from doing that. If you want to support us, do it. If you want to support cancer research for children, I would say do that.
But remember, it's us or them.
Cool. So, in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I am Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I am Dennis Furia, at D Furia on Twitter.
I'm David Mysmith, at Mysmith777.
And I'm Ben Merkel, at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Awesome. And Happy New Year, everybody.
I missed the Dishonored. Oh, I didn't even talk about that today.
Did you guys actually like Dishonored?
Oh, gosh. I'm enamored of that game.
Really?
It's so good.
It's so bad.
It's one of the worst games I've ever played.
Listen.
I've never seen a game be so polarizing, but damn, that is...
It's only polarizing on this show.
Yeah.
all I will say is like listen to the episode maybe to hear it. I can't recapitulate all of the points that we made, but
sure. Yeah, for me at least, like other than the game being coercive and like trying to force you to play a certain way, my main things was from a gameplay. Like I actually just didn't like first person stealth. Was that something you got over or learned to like or just like?
I'm already a huge fan of Thief.
Okay.
But the way that they handle like letting you know who can see what through the various powers works very well.
Okay, and Grant, I gave up before I ever got any powers.
You didn't actually see the game.
See, I just got so disgusted with it.
So did I. Like, I never got powers the first time I played it. Like
when you say powers, you mean like blink and the vision? And
yeah, blink
like
and
that.
Dark vision specifically. Like the those are what like give you the rest of the verbs to round everything out.
Yes, but then there
I
were so many.
After I got the other powers,
yeah, I got the powers, and I loved some of the stuff. Like I felt like the writing and the stories were pretty strong. Even though I didn't get to see it unfold that far, but I thought that was good. Some of the like the first mission, you're given the option to go poison the distillery,
mm-hmm.
and I chose not to.
Yeah,
and then the next mission, I was able to go to the people at the distillery for help, and I don't know if I'd have still been able to do that.
You would, but they would just say it's the damnedest thing. Our distillery's been poisoned.
Oh well, that okay. Never mind. So I was going to give it a credit, but no, that sucks. Okay, scratch that. Can't even give it that.
Oh, so I didn't help my cause.
No. So the writing was somewhat intriguing, but there were so many small, easy to fix flaws. Like the radius for where you had to be behind someone's back to choke them out, stealth kill style, was so tiny that I would successfully sneak up and have nothing else be wrong. And just because I was slightly too far to the left or the right, have them turn around and see me. When like I had done everything else right, and then I'd have to start over and do the whole sequence again, I'd have to kill them and bring everyone raining down on me, which I don't think the combat was fun, even with their whole parry system, it was just not fun.
Yeah.
And then also, when you're on high alert, if you go through a door, it will autosave and then dump everyone who is chasing you on top of you 3 seconds after the game loads up.
That's weird.
It's the worst. So I was just trying to get to like the doctor's house through that main square area in the first district that you get to. And just got frustrated with it because I kept on having the damn kill radius thing happen. And so I was like, screw it. I'm just going to run through. And so, you know, took off running and everyone saw me. And then I went into the door, which... Okay, I'm fine if people follow me through the door. That makes sense. I can see that. I didn't know that before, but I know it now. I can be more careful. But it auto-saved while everyone was on high alert and then dumped them on me.
Oh, that's the specific instance that you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So everyone saw me. I went through a door, and then it dumped everyone who saw me right on me the second it loaded up. And then that's the point that it loaded from.
Yeah.
And which just made the game unplayable. Like, I couldn't go anywhere because... I couldn't stealth it, and I couldn't, get away from, or I couldn't, kill 60 people. And even if I could, I know that there's macro negatives for doing that. And so I don't want to kill that many people.
Incredibly stupid.
Yeah. I don't want to bag on something that, especially in off time, like we can go back and I'll complain about that on next week's episode or something.
That's fine. No, this will go in the post roll. So yeah. I'm not here. Y'all have played it, and y'all have come to your own conclusions. Yeah. I am not here to try and say you are dumb for not having liked this thing. But seriously, I'm not. Even though that's true,
I'm not here to say that.
I'm not in so many words. That's just a hypothetical. You said that. You're the one who said that. That was true. No. So you've drawn your own conclusions to it, and so much of it's about perspective, right? I like this thing is not the same as this is good, and I don't like this thing is not the same as it is bad. That is the thin thin veneer that keeps that makes it so we can be civil about these subjective differences, right? Yeah. So the fact that I liked it and you guys didn't, whatever, cool. What I will say is, having approached it, knowing you guys didn't like it. And just kind of like knowing, like, okay, so I played up through the prison and I was like, okay, neat, but it wasn't good enough to keep me distracted from Resident Evil 6 of all things. I went into it, it was like, oh, I can actually see this is real cool because the game kind of tailors itself to the way you like to play. That's kind of cool. And, it's one of the few stealth games that gets more fun when you get caught and blah, blah, blah. Like there are a bunch of those things that, like, if you go into it expecting and knowing those things, it kind of does present whatever. It's like it's this strangely non-Newtonian solid or non-Newtonian liquid that presents just as much resistance as you want it to present.
Right? Yeah. What would you say are its main – what was its main merit for you? Was it the story? Was it the gameplay? What?
So the story, no great shakes. The world, fucking two thumbs up.
The world was great.
Yeah. So I don't think that there's any argument over that. I already came into it liking antiquated first person stealth mechanics because of Thief, and I would not expect anybody else to enjoy those things or to like those things.
What platform did you play it on?
I played it on 360.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I do feel I would probably feel differently playing it on PC in that respect.
Yeah.
Well, of course you would.
Well, I bought it. I assumed that any stealth game would be third person, and I prefer third person with a controller. So I never would have bought it for play. So that I will say that's part of where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like the other merit, like I think that the blink mechanic and like just getting around a world and planning your route and the fact that it will, you know, if you want to fight, it gives you more stuff to fight. If you want to stealth, it gives you interesting ways to solve things. I think that all of that kind of works around. I think the gameplay is like not unassailable, not impeccable, but I think really solid if you are willing to approach it kind of on its terms and give it a chance to let you match you on your terms. Right.
Yeah.
So I think the one complaint I had with it is I was kind of expecting something like Hitman as right. far as the hits go. And I thought the first mission was good with how they kind of gave you some options of how to approach it.
Yeah. The first assassination or?
The first assassination. I don't want to give anything away about it, but yeah. But I feel like so many of the missions were walk towards this icon, see something happen, walk towards this icon, see something happen. Mm-hmm. And so maybe coming off of Hitman Absolution into that game was just a bad transition because I felt like that was just very boring. And it's kind of a complaint for what I have been playing as well. But I'll get to that later.
Okay. Yeah, we'll prompt you for that. This is all happening after the credits, so don't worry. Yeah. No, I could see that. Like Hitman gives you just so many different options for the way that you go about it. Whereas, Dishonored, you have maybe like four or five. Go ahead.
It lets you figure things out.
Yeah. Whereas Dishonored gives you the quest markers. So it does have Skyrim syndrome a little bit. Mm-hmm. Once you hear about the way to brand somebody as a heretic, then just like, oh, the brand is over here, and then you figure it out. You don't figure it out. It tells you. There's a little bit of like room to freeform jazz it and everything, and it's more tactics instead of strategy, like what are you doing in the moment as opposed to your overall approach to it. I would make that defense of it, but yeah, you're right, it is not Hitman.
Another thing I was kind of upset, I like the idea of the city mechanic of the city evolving with how you play. The only thing is, I think I mentioned this before too, is it needed to have a way to improve, because it only had a punishment if you killed people. Mm-hmm. There was no reward for not killing people. Yeah. And so I did not like how they did that mechanic.
My argument against that would be that like that's kind of the point. Like this shit sucks, and it's really just a matter of do you make it worse or do you hold out on the status quo until somebody can actually make it better.
See, I think that was the thing for me that was completely unforgivable. I would have looked probably could have overlooked everything, but I didn't like the game forcing a particular moral view on me.
And that's the thing, like if you experience maybe like a couple of the nonviolent kills or assassination hits, you would actually see that like going through it nonviolently actually is more reprehensible than what you end up doing if you just like kill people.
Oh, that's fine for the bosses. I'm talking about everything else.
Okay.
I'm talking more about the getting to the bosses.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know how to counter that. Like really the way that I look at that is, man, I'm not this game's defense squad. I'm enamored of it, but I'm not being put on blast here. I know that, but I'm reacting like I am. Just kind of like, oh, if there are more corpses, more rats. Cool. Okay. Plague is running rampant. That's the root cause of all this problem anyway. So that makes a certain degree of sense to me, and I don't see it as a moral problem. I see it more as like a problem of the physics of the world of the world as it's established.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in general, I felt like though they made it very clear that they were going to punish you if you killed people.
Well, that's every stealth game ever. Whether it's putting zombies in front of you or presenting you with a river full of people who will run at you screaming and grabbing their nuts. like every stealth game gives you that option. I think that this game actually gives you a significant gameplay change if you decide to kill people. It is not an overt moral judgment. I think it is more of like a, oh, this is how you want to play this game? Cool. We'll give you more stuff to indiscriminately kill.
See, my understanding was that the actual cutscenes, the in addition to there being more plague, the actual more actions you took in cutscenes changed based on how many people you killed.
You really don't. Like Corvo's so Corvo's actions, really you are the only person who makes Corvo act. The overall quality of the world will make other people act differently, and it will change the tone of some of the stuff that happens, but it's as a direct result of the plague running wild or not.
Sure. And I suppose some of that is, I mean, I don't care about stealth games, so I guess there's a certain degree to which I'm not, in terms of it punishing you not being stealthy, I guess there's a certain degree to which I'm not explicitly not coming to the game on its terms.
So you can play it stealthy and kill everybody. And
true.
Yeah. So like stealth doesn't have too much to do with any of it. Play it as an action game.
Yeah.
And it supports that. I think the combat's really fun.
See that? I'm curious. So when you talk about the combat, you're either...
Has to do with with the powers, honestly.
Powers. Gotcha.
Like the powers and the fact that it gives you the block and parry and riposte kind of stuff. Like,
so the coolest thing I had happen with the combat was when someone saw me and I blinked behind them and then choked them out. Mm-hmm. Like, that was awesome. I was like, cool. And then I could not reliably do that in any situation ever again.
It
happened once.
There are more of those combinations that are unlocked. Like... one of the most famous ones, this isn't a spoiler, and if anybody's listening to this after the credits, again, you've already played this game or know about it, because you have a time freeze ability and you also have possession, if somebody shoots a bullet at you, you can time freeze, possess somebody, and walk them in front of their own bullet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So like using that as kind of the springboard for recognizing what kind of combinations there are for these different powers, like that's roughly what you're approaching at. And Ben, to your point about the kind of the creativity for some of the hits, yeah, you're not going to be able to like choke this guy out or feed him poison fugu fish or whatever. But your various approaches, it kind of takes a vaguely Deus Ex kind of freedom to it.
Well, my argument is the fact that they don't let you figure things out.
Yeah,
they're saying it. You know, there's no interaction. You know, so and I think that kind of takes away from the joy of like killing someone.
I can't. Well, you
know. As a side note, Ben, that was actually one of my big complaints about the Assassin's Creed series. Although you really liked good Assassin's Creed games,
what?
Right?
That's not true. I've played two of them and I've stopped. I've promised to not play another Assassin's Creed game.
Wait, I thought the good ones, by which I mean all of them before three. By which I mean all three. Games.
You're getting us confused. I've played all the good ones. Ben has played all the bad ones.
Oh, okay, I stand corrected.
Ben has played 1 and 3. I've played 2 in its various spinoffs.
2 and 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
2, 1, 2, 2, and 2, 3.
Yep.
So did you feel that same way with Assassin's Creed? Because that was definitely something that kind of annoyed me about.
Yeah, those weren't interesting either. Hitman's kind of the benchmark for what a good contract killing game is.
Yeah, for that kind of mission-based, you know, so-and-so.
Yeah, I will say Dishonored, I'm hoping, well...
They've all been confirmed that there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than the degree to which this kind of implies... selling its soul at some point. I do hope it becomes a franchise because I feel like it's a game that could very much clean up some of the things that are annoying about it and become a game I really, really like. Yeah. Also, Whale Punk needs to continue to be a thing.
No, that's my ultimate verdict. Is like I really look forward to Dishonored 2. I was not willing to put up with Dishonored's particular brand of bullshit any further than I did, but I'm totally open to next game.
Listen to the Dishonored episode.
Yeah, I'm curious too.
At the very least, it'll be kind of like a firecracker, and you can listen to it and come to me with a writ of your.
I'll hate listen to it.
With your 99 theses. Pin them up on my chest.
Have you seen The Crow? Does it continue to be like The Crow set in the Industrial Revolution?
Wait, are you talking about what are you talking about?
The movie The Crow.
Okay. Well,
okay, yeah. So Ben, which one of us wants to make the joke?
Let's come on, man.
Well, I want to give you first right of first refusal.
I don't want to make a joke about that.
it's kind of funny.
I
wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Making someone run in front of their own bullet.
Ooh, there we go. So David swoops in for the win. A little bit. No. It's, oh man, which of you guys was there for the? Was there for the? I think I submitted that episode for like the College Broadcasters Award, and we were nominated for it. It was a joke about Eric Clapton's son dying by falling out a window.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that sounds like something we would say.
It does sound something like that. I went home and I grabbed all my old CDs. I think that I might actually still have that episode somewhere.
I know we've made multiple jokes about Brandon Lee in our lifetime, and
yeah,
we don't need, well, maybe
he,
I've reached
he, the... he can beat us up like once in heaven, we will feel no pain.
but truly though, I mean, it is kind of uncanny the degree to which, I mean, your freaking main character's name is Corvo.
Oh man! So you guys are aware of the terrible T-shirt company for you assholes?
No. What?
No.
Okay. So it's an idea that Gary. So Gary from Watch Out for Fireballs, Nick from Check It Out Comrade, and I, myself tertiarily have come up with. So it's ideas for terrible, awful T-shirts that we can sell to assholes.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah, like T-shirt. You hate the people who wear the gimmick T-shirts. So let's churn out gimmick T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah. So like Thwomp, there it is, and it's a Thwomp from Mario with wearing hammer pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like that. It's just terrible game-based puns and like pop culture crossovers and so and so. But yeah. The idea for Corvo is to do Jose Corvo. So it's just a bottle of Corvo with Corvo's mask next to it, or working that design into the bottle label. Yeah. Do you guys want to get back to the actual episode? This has been a long post roll.
Yeah, I don't know. What is this?
This is the post roll. Don't worry.
I forgot how to podcast.
I'll put something in the pre roll to allude to that, so people who are interested in the matter can hear about it. But yeah,
good.